إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن ولا بعد. My brothers and sisters, we just finished Ramadan al-Kareem, and what strikes me is that the power of Ramadan to change lives lies in the fact that Ramadan is rooted in action. I'm sure all of us will agree that Ramadan changes the lives of people. Even if it is in a temporary way, it should not be in a temporary way. But for example, this is not a nice example to give, but we know that this happens. There are Muslims who give up drinking alcohol during Ramadan. There are Muslims who give up smoking during Ramadan. They know it is haram and that they should not do it anyway. But at least in Ramadan, they don't do it. I'm not saying that is a good thing. I'm saying that what would be worse is that they continue to drink in Ramadan also, but they don't do that. We hope that, Ramadan changes them permanently. But the point is that you find masajid are more full of people, more people come for salat by jama'ah, people are generally more considerate and more charitable and so on and so forth. All of these changes are not meant to be only for Ramadan. They are meant to be permanent, and inshallah we hope that they are permanent, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to practice Ramadan al-Kareem in the way that it should be practiced, which is by making these changes permanent in our lives. But at least temporarily this happens. And to me, the reason for that is because Ramadan is all about action. It is about fasting. So, if you are in Ramadan, you are fasting. There is action. It's not a matter of, let us talk about fasting or let us have these gatherings where we will discuss fasting. And we don't have all this. Fasting means go make suhoor, fast through the day and then have iftar and then go and do taraweeh. So, it is a whole month full of action. Right? So, there is the fasting itself, and then there is taraweeh in the night. And for those who get the tawfiq, there is i'tikaf and there is qiyam and so on and so forth. So, the whole key to this is of action. Now, obviously, the question is what happens to us the rest of the year? Because the rest of the year, we have two other things which are with us constantly, not only in the year, not only in a month, but constantly. One is the Quran and the other one is Salah. Salah is also action. Allah did not say, gather five times a day to talk about the fadail of salah. Allah said, gather five times a day to pray. Yet to establish the salah, not to talk about the salah. But somewhere we don't take the same benefit from salah as we take from Ramadan. Salah becomes routine or we miss it and so on and so on. So also with the Quran. The other day somebody sent me a very nice waqia which I want to share with you. A man once came to Sulaim bin Isa, rahmatullah alayhi, and he said, "Oh Abu Isa, I have come to recite the Quran to you correctly, with tajweed." So he came to him and he said, "Please, I want to correct my tajweed. I want to make sure that I am reciting Quran correctly. So I have come to you. Let me recite before you and you can correct me." Abu Sulaim said, "My son, I once saw someone come to Hamza al-Zayyat, who was the head of all the Qurra of Kufa." So in Iraq, he was the head of all the Qurra. So he was the biggest and the most important and famous reciters of the Quran of the time. He said, "My son, I once saw someone come to Hamza al-Zayyat for the same thing, which is to correct his recitation. And at this point," he said, "Hamza wept. And he said, 'My son, correctness lies in taking care to live by the Quran.'" Correctness, tajweed of recitation, lies in taking care to live by the Quran. If you do this, you would have achieved correctness. This is the true meaning of correctness. Now, I will give you the reference to this also. Now, the point is that the main purpose of recitation is to understand, is to reflect on its meaning and to act on its instructions. Right? Three main things. One is to understand what you are reading. And second thing is to reflect on the meanings. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he asked this rhetorical question about those who deny him and deny Islam and do not accept Islam, he said, Afala yatadabbaruna al-Quran. Allah said, don't they reflect on the Quran? Do they not make tadabbur on the Quran? Allah did not say, don't they read the Quran? He did not say, don't they read the Quran? Now, obviously, reading is essential for reflection. If you haven't read, you can't reflect. So, it goes without saying. But if the reading remains only with the reading and nothing else happens, then obviously the purpose of reading has not been achieved. The purpose of reading is not to read. The purpose of reading is not to read. The purpose of reading is to apply what we have read. In order to apply what we have read, we have to reflect on what we have read. So, we have today, sad to say that we have got today two separate kinds of issues. One is you have an issue where people read incorrectly. So, this is by saying this, it does not mean that the tajweed that of the Quran itself is not important. Of course, it is important. Apart from anything else, it's important because if you don't read the Quran correctly according to the rules of tajweed, then the chances are that in some cases the meaning of the ayat itself changes. This will spoil your salah. If you are doing imamat, it spoils the salah of other people also and so on. So, it is essential to learn to read the Quran correctly. But it is equally essential, if not more essential, to understand that the purpose of reading is not reading. The purpose of reading is to reflect on that and to apply it. So, therefore, it is important to understand what we are reading, not simply make the sounds. So, that's one of our major issues, which is that we don't understand what we read. We are just making sounds. So, this must not happen. We must take the trouble to understand what we are reading. Obviously, ideally learn Arabic as a language, and until we do that, read the meaning of what we have read. Even if you don't read the meaning of all that, for example, if you are reading one juz a day, and you might say, well, you know, how do I read the meaning of the whole juz? You can read it, nothing wrong with that, but if you don't do that, read some of the meaning at least, you know, of one page, and then think about it and say, how do I bring this into my life? We all know the famous story of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Abdullah Ibn Umar, who mentioned and explained the methodology of understanding and teaching and reading Quran that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to practice. And we know the story where he said that we used to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would take 10 ayat from him, not one juz, 10 ayat. We would take 10 ayat from him, and these 10 ayat, we used to read them and we used to reflect on them. And whatever was ordered in those ayat, anything to apply, we would apply it in our lives. And only when we were satisfied with that, we would go to him for the next 10 ayat. And that is the reason why it took them. This whole story came out because Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu took 12 years to memorize Suratul Baqarah, one surah. And then he gave he called people for a meal at the end of that. So they asked him, why did it take you so long? And today we know that in our madaris of hifz, 2 years maximum. If a boy takes, or somebody takes, student takes more than 2 years, then they say, you know, his memory is weak or he's lazy or something. 2 years, he takes 2 years to memorize what? The whole Quran, not Surah Al-Baqarah. The whole Quran. Because he's not thinking, there's no question of understanding or reflecting or amal or anything. He's just memorizing by rote repetition. And so that's how it takes. That's not the purpose at all. Not only not the whole purpose, but it is not the purpose at all of the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran. So on the one hand, you have people who don't know how to recite, and therefore it's very important to correct our recitation and ensure that we recite correctly and we don't make mistakes in recitation. On the other hand, we have the other issue, which is, and may Allah forgive us, all of us are in that, which is that even if we recite correctly, even if we know how to recite correctly And some of us know to recite very well. We not only recite correctly, but we recite, you know, in a beautiful way. But if you go into the life and say, well, I just recited the surah very nicely. How much of this do I practice in my life? Then, wallahu alam, maybe it's a different story. And that is where the problem comes. And that's why I said Ramadan has power because we implement Ramadan. But the same power lies in Salah on a daily basis. The same power lies in the recitation and reading of the Quran on a daily basis. That Ramadan came out of the Quran in any case. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his recitation, there are many hadiths where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reported. They said he used to elongate his recitation. He would elongate the vowels. He would elongate. So he would recite in a tarti, in what is called tartil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَرَتَّلِ الْقُرْآنَ قُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. In Surah Muzammil, Allah said, recite Quran in a nice and beautiful way. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu once was praying in the masjid and he was reciting aloud and he sensed that somebody behind him, but obviously he was in Salah. So when he finished his Salah, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing behind him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed him and gave him dua for his recitation. He said, beautiful recitation. He said, Ya Rasulullah, if I had known that you are standing behind me, I would have made it even more beautiful. You know, to he said that. So, these are the fadail of the Sahaba. Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu, another Sahabi who was one of the Qura of the Quran, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day in a state of agitation and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I was praying tahajjud and I was reciting Quran and I saw a cloud come down and there were lights in the cloud, flashing lights. And he said, my horse was there and it was getting very agitated and so on. So I shortened my recitation and I finished. What was this cloud? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you had continued to recite, the people of Madina would have seen the malaika who come down to listen to your recitation. He asked him, which surah were you reciting? He said, I was reciting Suratul Kahf. So this is the power of good recitation, alhamdulillah. And of course, it is also the power of people, because all the ones who I mentioned are people who also lived by that Quran. They didn't, Usayd bin Hudayr and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhuma, they didn't just simply recite and go away. They lived by that kalam. So the power of the recitation also comes from the recitation being done by somebody who lives by this recitation. With Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it goes without saying, also with the Sahaba, these were people who took the Quran literally. Today, many times we criticize people. They say, oh, but you know, so-and-so takes the Quran too literally. What is the meaning of too literally? The Quran came to be taken literally. What did it come for? It didn't come for you to create a philosophy based on the Quran. Philosophy out of your own, you know, figments of your imagination. Quran came to be taken. Allah said, Aqimus Salah. What does it mean? What is the philosophy of Aqimus Salah? Aqimus Salah means establish Salah. Go pray. It is, what is the unliteral or the, I don't know what to call it. It is literal. It is supposed to be literal. Allah said, this is halal. That is why it is halal. Allah said, this is haram. It means haram. What else does it mean? So the Quran came to be taken literally, to be followed literally, only then will we get the benefit. And I remind myself and you that we have just finished a month which proves this point. The power of Ramadan lies in the implementation of Ramadan. The fact that we actually act on this hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related to fasting. So we need to reflect on it, that the same hukum with the same importance, this is also a rukun, is also a pillar of Islam, the same hukum and the same importance, in some ways one might even say a greater importance, relates to the salah itself. Because the salah comes before fasting. The salah is the first hukum of Islam. Immediately after shahada, the first rukun of what is the next rukun after shahada of Islam is salah. Fasting comes after that. So therefore, if we also give salah the importance that we give to fasting, then inshallah it will change our lives permanently. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to do this and to implement it in our lives and to enjoy the power of the literal interpretation and literal understanding and literal implementation of the Quran in our lives. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.